In a massive sweep, hundreds of men and boys from Middle Eastern countries were arrested by federal immigration officials in Southern California this week when they complied with orders to appear at INS offices for a special registration program. This Monday's deadline required that all men 16 years and older from Iran, Iraq, Libya, Sudan, and Syria register with the INS. Activists called the INS vigilantes. They say the registration requirement echoes some of the most repressive moments in recent history, Japanese internment camps, and the registration of Jews in Nazi Germany. Lawyers estimate that 500 to 700 men have been detained so far in Southern California alone. We're very pleased to be joined now by Ben Alwardi, who is a Los Angeles attorney specializing in immigration law, and she is representing about 30 men who were detained this week. She is Iraqi-American, and she sits on the board of the L.A. chapter of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. Welcome to Flashpoints, Ben Alwardi.
Thank you very much.
So why don't you give us an overview of what happened this week, what this requirement for registration is all about?
Basically, in the last week, we have seen people rushing to register with the INS in order to comply with the laws as set forth by the Department of Justice. Most people were supposed to register by Monday, which was this last Monday, December 16th. That was the last day. Because of the huge amount of numbers of people rushing to comply with the law, we saw a huge number of detentions being made, supposedly enforcing this law.
What are they using to justify the detentions? What are the crimes that these people are being accused of?
These people are not being charged with any type of crime. These people are not criminals. In fact, they're all law-abiding, tax-paying, very hard-working people, many of whom have green card petitions that are pending with the INS, whose presence here in this country is completely known by the INS. These people are coming in for registration, being asked questions about their identity, their family history, contact information back in their home countries, some clients being asked to produce credit cards, copies of ATM cards, copies of even Blockbuster video cards. Basically, if they're here and overstayed their visa, even if they have green card applications pending and have permission to stay, they are being taken into custody and many times being held for 2, 3, 4 nights.
I understand that the INS, in order to justify it, they're saying that these are all people, I guess, that have, who have visas that have expired.
It's true,
but what you're saying is they're all in part of a process to deal with that,
well,
right?
Well, I'm saying a large majority of those people who have been detained do have green card applications pending, many of whom also even have permission to work here. Permission to work that's been granted and authorized by the INS, many of whom have travel documents who are actually allowed to leave the country and to re-enter the United States based on the green card petitions that they have pending. Everybody that has been taken into custody, yes, does have an expired visa, but it does not mean that they do not have permission to stay in the country.
So what has happened to the people since they've been detained? What are they being told and how are they being treated?
In the particular instances of my clients, I have seen all kinds of different things. We have some officers who are very apologetic for the brutal enforcement of this law. A lot of officers basically saying it's out of their hands and that other agencies are requiring them to do this. When pressed further on who these other agencies were, it became apparent that it was the FBI. Most people are being handcuffed, told to wait, and then chained to other people who are taken into detention. Taken down hallways, which are also full of other people who are waiting to be registered and probably detained, and taken into the basement. This was happening in the Los Angeles District Office, which is where I was on Monday. From there, people are booked, fingerprinted, probably taken, you know, having their photographs taken, being served with court documents, notices to appear in immigration court, and being placed in deportation proceedings. And then 2-3 days later, they are being bonded out anywhere between $1,500 to $5,000 apiece. And in one case, I heard $15,000 was set for bond, which is very unusually high. I don't know what the circumstances were surrounding that.
Are they being physically mistreated in any way once they get into? I've read some accounts in the L.A. Times that don't sound like they've been treating very well.
Right. You're right. I have heard reports myself because of the large volume of people they have detained. They have transferred some of the people to local county jails and being mixed with the general criminal population. I've heard reports from one particular detention facility where people were hosed down, forced to strip, and basically hosed down in a large number of people were threatened. People have been forced to sleep on the floors in very cold conditions. I had clients report that they were being served food with pork and ham products when the majority of people who were there were Muslim. So those are the kind of reports that I've been hearing so far.
And just to clarify it again, they haven't been charged with anything. Is that correct?
If these people had shown up for their green card interviews, they would have been processed and approved for legal permanent residency. They would not have been taken into custody.
Can you comment on the fact that these arrests took place in Los Angeles County? Why do you think it happened there, and is it spreading around to other parts of the country, this same treatment?
Actually, we've been receiving reports from all over the nation of mass detention of people. I think because demographically, the Los Angeles, Orange County area has a very high population of Iranian and Arab people. Our community is very large here, and so I think that maybe we saw disproportionate numbers here. I really honestly don't know. I know that the first 2 weeks in the Los Angeles and Santa Ana offices, there were no arrests being made for people that were being arrested by the last week of the registration. So the policy seems to have shifted. At some point, some kind of directive was issued. I'm sure something happened where all of the discretion was given to the investigations unit of the INS, and they were the ones who were basically taking everybody in.
And it has been mentioned, of course, it's hard not to remember the internment of the Japanese, during World War II.
That was also justified by national security. Our United States government justified the internment of Japanese and Asian Americans, actually, in concentration camps, literally, in the name of national security. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing here. That was declared to be unconstitutional. These mass arrests and mass detentions have definitely instilled fear and terror into our community, even those American citizens that are here. Everyone feels like they will be, attacked by our own government, the government that they think will protect them.
And we do want to mention, of course, that it was voluntary. I mean, the INS put out this request, but these people chose to go before the INS and register. And the question does come up as to whether, if they were really terrorists and criminals, whether they would have even gone at all to the INS.
You're right. You are absolutely right. So many of my clients, one particular, as he was being handcuffed, told the officer, "Sir, I would do anything to stay in this country. I love America. I work hard in America, and I came to this interview to prove to you that I'm not a terrorist and to tell you how much I love this country. I will even go to jail if that's what you want me to do because I love this country so much."
And that is Ben Alwardi. She is a Los Angeles attorney representing approximately 30 people who were just detained this week in a sweep by the INS of the Arab people, and which is spreading all over the country. So where do you, first of all, what are you able to do to help your clients, and where do you see the situation going from here?
What can we do to help our clients? Unfortunately, the last 2 weeks have been the most helpless times of, I think, our lives as attorneys. I found myself advising my clients as to what to wear in jail, bringing $40 to buy a calling card, wearing tennis shoes and a warm sweatshirt because you'd be sleeping on the floor for a couple of days, telling people to have their friends drop them off instead of bringing their car so that their car wouldn't be towed overnight. That's the only thing that I could do right now in the sense of preparing my clients. We are working with the INS on perhaps coming up with more humane strategies of enforcing this law, possibly allowing people to be served with the court papers and allowing them to leave without having to suffer the humiliation and the brutalization of staying in a jail cell for crimes they've never committed.
And also they're having to pay money to get out, right?
You're right. Actually, that's a very good point because a lot of these people are 245I eligible applicants who filed green card applications before a deadline last year in April 30. And as a part of that process, they will be required to pay a $1,000 penalty fee to get their green card. Now, in addition to that, they're being required to pay a bond for $1,500 money, left and right. I think people thought they were leaving their countries to escape this corruption, to escape having to pay bribes. They've run into the same thing here.
Are any of your clients young people? And I wonder if the families are very upset about, especially if they're teenagers, and it must be terrifying for them.
I don't have any teenage clients myself, but I did see a lot of teenagers coming in and getting arrested. I saw one 16-year-old kid who actually had a medical condition, and his mother was just trying to stuff his pockets with medicine as they were taking him away. And, they weren't even giving her the chance to say goodbye to her son, and she was devastated.
We're very happy that you could join us today, Ben Alwardi, an attorney in Los Angeles who's working very hard on behalf of the 30 men that she represents out of the hundreds, 500 to 700 so far that have been detained in Southern California. This sweep seems to be spreading around the country, and we will be back to our listeners keeping on this. Ben Alwardi, thank you very much for speaking with us today on Flashpoints.
Thank you very much, and thank you so much for all of your work on this show.